Side Hustle Show 98 from $100 to $30,000 in 9 months.
Welcome to the Side Hustle Show, where aspiring part-time entrepreneurs learn how to turn their side hustle dreams into reality. Because your 9-to-5 may make you a living, but your 5-to-9 makes you alive. And now, your host, Nick Loper.
What's happening, everybody? Nick Loper here. Welcome to the Side Hustle Show. This is episode 98. We're closing in on triple digits, and this one is all about John Corcoran's journey from $100 in side hustle revenue to $30,000 over the course of 9 months. Now, if you've heard John on other podcasts, he's been around the podcast circuit a little bit. You know he's always going to bring the goods, but today we're diving a little bit more into the business side of building and selling his course and also serving as an affiliate for high dollar affiliate products, rather than the networking that he's probably best known for. Anyways, all my notes and highlights from this call are available to you absolutely free at sidehustlenation.com/98 or through the link in the episode description of your podcast player app. A couple news and updates before we get into it. The Side Hustle Show was nominated for Best Business Podcast at the 10th Annual Podcast Awards. This is like the Grammys, or this is like the Oscars for podcasters. This is big time. And to see the little old Side Hustle Show right up there next to you know, Smart Passive Income, next to Startup, next to Dave Ramsey, the Freakonomics guys, it's just flattering and it's crazy, and it would not have happened without your support. So I don't know how many nominations it took to make that short list, but I am, you know, just very, very grateful. You are awesome. Thank you so much for doing that. Now, of course, the next stage is to vote for the winner. So if you go to podcastawards.com, you can cast your vote for whoever you think should win. I understand I'm up against some very, very stiff competition. So only vote for the show if you do think it's worthy. And if you do think it's worthy, you can vote every 24 hours from now until March 24th. And the winners will be announced at New Media Expo next month. So that's podcastawards.com. And vote for the Side Hustle Show. And speaking of New Media Expo, if you are attending, definitely let me know. Send me an email or something, nick@sidehustlenation.com, and we'll be sure to meet up. Be sure to plan something we can get together. Also on March 24th, mark your calendars, because John and I are co-hosting a webinar on how to cold email any VIP and get a response. I guess anybody can cold email anybody, and you know, whether or not that gets deleted right away, that's kind of what separates the man from the boys in this case. And so if you need guests for your podcast, if you're trying to build a relationship with some influential person in your niche, or you're trying to pitch a guest post, whatever it may be, John's got some really, really valuable stuff on how to get that done, including, you know, his actual templates that he uses to do the same thing. So you can reserve your spot for that at connectwithinfluence.com/Nick. Connectwithinfluence.com/Nick. So exclusively for Side Hustle Nation listeners and subscribers. And with that, let's get on to the show. Hey, John, welcome to the Side Hustle Show.
Thank you, Nick. I'm honored to be here.
Well, I'm happy to have you, everybody. John Corcoran blogs at smartbusinessrevolution.com. And he hosts the Smart Business Revolution podcast. You've probably seen his guest posts on The Art of Manliness, Smart Passive Income, The Huffington Post, and dozens of other places. So, John, you're, like, in my mind, you're known as the networking guy, the connections guy. But there was one post of yours recently that got my attention, and I think it would get anyone's attention. It was called From $100 to $8,500 in 6 months. You want to walk us through what happened over the course of that 6 months and what made the biggest impact on the bottom line?
Yeah, actually, the funny thing is I actually need to update that. I'll probably retitle it From $100 to $30,000 in 9 months.
What?
Yeah. I had a really good month in January.
Whoa.
It's funny. It's amazing if you chart how income can go up, particularly as your email subscribers go up. It's just dramatic how numbers can increase, and then they become the base, you know, the as there's a guy named Tony Rulli who's helping me now, and he said that the high water mark becomes the baseline very quickly. And I think that's so true with this online stuff. So you want me to get into how, like, what I've done everything in the last like 9 months or so?
Yeah, I'm curious to hear. So this is a platform that's been built for much longer than that. But curious kind of what accelerated the income from it just recently in the past 9 months or so.
Well, there's a couple of things. I think guest posting is a huge part of it. Growing my email list is a huge part of it. Developing my own course is a huge part of it. And really zeroing in on really narrowing my focus and being really crystal clear on what my focus was. So I've been blogging for longer than blogging's been around, I guess. I've been writing for the web since before blogging's been around. I mean, I remember writing something back in 1997, I think, for like an e-zine, which would be like a blog today.
Okay, wow.
So it's been quite a while, and off and on, like not always aggressively. I got more into it around 2007, I want to think, 2007, 2008, and my blog went by a different name then. It was really unfocused, and I'm a practicing lawyer, and so I wrote about legal topics, which I found were boring as crap, and people weren't interested in, you know, there wasn't any community that was going to gather around that. Like, search engine traffic would come in, people would read about the narrow legal issue that they needed to read about, and then they'd be gone. It wasn't any way of creating a larger community, which is what I wanted.
Okay.
And so I shifted the focus, I rebranded it, I started calling it Smart Business Revolution. This is about 2.5 years ago, maybe 3 years ago.
Okay.
And I started focusing. I figured I liked working with entrepreneurs. I was working mostly with small business owners and entrepreneurs. So I should just talk about that. And I'd also talk about my journey as an entrepreneur. So I started doing that. And then I found that was too broad as well. I was talking too much about too many different things. And so I had my friend Antonio Centino, who runs a blog called Real Men, Real Style, excellent blog. He and I were in a mastermind group at the time, and he kept on saying, John, you're so good at developing relationships with people. You should really start focusing in on that. And just kept on saying it. And finally, when enough people tell you something, you got to listen to them. So then I started focusing in on that, and that really helped my growth. And then the other piece is definitely guest posting as much as possible. That got my name out there, started building my reputation, and started building my email list.
Okay. Is that the focus of the podcast now, kind of on networking and building connections?
Yeah, I don't, you know, so many people get hung up on the word networking, so I usually don't call it that. But it's funny because, you know, people will say like, oh, I hate networking. But, you know, I really like building relationships with people.
And right,
like,
right, right.
Okay, what does that mean exactly? So I just try and avoid the word usually. So, but yeah, I mean, I talk about building relationships and building in business. And on the podcast, I profile one relationship building experts, connection experts who've got a variety of experiences and how they build relationships and how they use that to support their business and grow their revenue, increase their income. And I also interview like business book authors, and I interview successful entrepreneurs who've got great stories about how they built their way up as an entrepreneur. Almost every entrepreneur can point to a series of relationships that led to their success. I mean, even Sir Richard Branson has said that you really need to be out there building relationships, making connections, and that's crucial to your success. And this is someone who's a multi-billionaire. So don't just take my word for it. Take Richard Branson's word for it.
Yeah. And on top of that, it's just, it's fun. I mean, like for me, that's one of the biggest highlights of running the podcast. It's an excuse to talk to awesome people and all of a sudden, you know, become part of their circle. I think that's, I don't know. That's one of the cool things about podcasting. So for years and years and years, I was running the affiliate business, and it was very much like a one-man show. I didn't have much reason to network, or at least I didn't see much reason to network with anybody else or kind of connect with. So I was just kind of head down doing my own thing. And, you know, that probably stunted the growth in the long term, because when you're so singularly focused, like maybe you miss other opportunities, or you miss the chance to, you know, make other introductions. And so kind of in the transition to like to the side hustle nation is very much, it's all about relationships. It's about, you know, how can you help other people? How can they help you? And it just kind of is a perpetual motion machine once you get it going.
Yeah. And, you know, throughout my career, I've recognized the importance of relationships. I mean, I've been so fortunate to have some amazing experiences. You know, I came from a humble middle-class family. My dad got laid off a bunch of times as a kid, three different times where we were really struggling for a number of months. And that really experienced who I am today, influenced who I am today. And I realized the importance of having a strong network so that if something does happen to you, if you need to call someone up and say, can you give me a job? Can you help me out? You have that network available to you. And so that's really important to me. And I always did it throughout my career. And fortunately, I mean, I had some amazing experiences. At 23 years old, I was a writer in the Clinton White House. At 20 years old, I was working for Steven Spielberg, Jeffrey Katzenberg, and David Geffen at DreamWorks. I was an early employee there. I've also been a speechwriter to the governor of California. I've worked in Silicon Valley, heart of Silicon Valley. So I've had these amazing experiences in spite of my humble beginnings. And so I always tell people that because you can achieve an amazing amount if you focus on relationship building. And then when it came to the online stuff, I realized about, in conjunction with the rebranding and everything, I realized about 3 years ago, and this is in part thanks to Charlie Gilkey over at Productive Flourishing, who I took a course from, is that I didn't have the network within the online community that I had built in other industries. And so once I started putting effort into that, then things really started to flourish. And I went off to New Media Expo where I met a bunch of people, including Antonio and other people who helped in my growth. And I formed a mastermind group and all that kind of stuff. And so there's so many different opportunities and growth that comes from immersing yourself in a community and building relationships with people. It's just absolutely crucial. And you know, building an audience, putting my course together every step of the way has, you know, those relationships have been instrumental in helping me to get to the next step.
And so it's fitting that the course is kind of teaching your methods and your secrets for making these meaningful connections.
Right, absolutely. And it's based on my background and experience. It's not, you know, it's not just like, you know, oh, go comment on someone's blog and you'll build a relationship with them. It's really based on my experience throughout my career. You know, and these, it's amazing how similar these tools are. I mean, the tools we're using today, although we have different tools, we have a lot of social media, you know, a lot of the things that we do are really applying things that have worked for generations to new digital media, but people are confused by how to apply those tools and they have a lot of questions and they're not sure and it can be confusing. And you do things in your digital life or you do things online that you wouldn't do offline, or you do things offline that you don't realize you should be doing online, you know, with building relationships. So what I try and do is show people how to take those great skills that a lot of people recognize in the offline world and apply them to the new world online with digital tools.
Okay. And so how long after the rebrand did you put this thing together?
Oh, wow. It was a while, probably 2 years.
Okay,
a year and a half.
And was this your first paid product?
No, it wasn't. I had a couple awful before that.
what were those?
Oh man, really? You're gonna go there? So one was related to when I was focusing on legal topics, and it was home foreclosures was a really. But I've never talked about this on a podcast. Nick, you're getting it out of me.
We're going deep. Okay.
Yeah. I created like an ebook that was hardly. I don't even remember what I charged for it. Maybe $19 or something like that. Put a ton of effort into it, and created a guide about. Like home foreclosures, because at the time I'd written a couple blog posts on the topic and it was a huge issue. It was like 2008, 2009. Mm-hmm. And I had a lot of search engine traffic that was coming to me. So, you know, I did the smart thing, which was creating a product that would serve that community. And it was an okay ebook, but I didn't know what I was doing. And, you know, set up like a basic sales page and, you know, that looked awful. And I sold a few copies, not very much. But I put, you know, I did it all wrong, basically.
Okay. Well, let's kind of expand on that. Those lessons learned to the connect with influencers. So what, knowing from those mistakes, what was top of mind for building this thing?
Great question. Okay, so a number of different things. One is I created the product before I created the audience. I didn't have any audience, really. I created a product and then I realized...
For the real estate one.
Yeah, I didn't really have an audience to sell it to, except for the search engine traffic, which was running through my site.
And they're kind of coming in cold, so they're not necessarily primed to buy from you.
Right. I mean, I had a couple blog posts on the topic that were doing pretty well, and then at the bottom I would like link to it. So I think I got a few people who bought it that way.
Okay.
But it wasn't a great audience to go after. These were people who were probably losing their home or in danger of losing their home, so they didn't have a lot of money, right? So that's not a great audience to go after. I didn't do anything to determine what the content should be. I didn't like survey anyone. I didn't talk to anyone. I mean, I was advising some legal clients about these topics, so I knew what their questions were, so I added that in. But I didn't do any surveys. So, I mean, I completely changed it when it came to developing Connect with Influencers. So Connect with Influencers, there's a couple of different things that I did differently. One is I actually ran it as a live course, a couple of different webinars with a small group first before creating the digital product. So I had a small list at the time. I announced it to my list, and then I did a couple of webinars, and then I surveyed people afterwards. Sometimes even sitting down, like I went to lunch with one guy, just took notes and asked him questions about the course, what he liked and didn't like, and got different feedback. And some of the feedback was that they wanted it to be a self-paced video course of a higher quality. They liked the content, but they thought it could be higher quality. So that's why I went and created the video course. And it's funny because we bring our own perceptions to these, you know, products. I thought that people would rather have a live course with some live component. And I found that that wasn't exactly true. It was my own perception that people would want that. But what people wanted was a higher quality video course, which is what I ended up creating. I changed the name. I mean, it was called Power Networking System initially. There's
That sounds pretty cheesy.
There's that word again, networking, right? and then I changed it from that to Connect with Influencers after doing some surveys of my list and figuring out what people actually, what they resonated with. So, you know, the language that I used to describe it on the sales page was heavily based on feedback that I got from people. You know, so there's a lot of different things. And I've learned from a lot of different people. You and I both belong to Fizzle. I took Ramit Sethi's Zero to Launch was really helpful as well, learning their methods. So I learned from other people that I had relationships with who built other courses.
I should clarify. I'm not a Fizzler, but I know of many.
I thought you were.
Fizzlers. I know people keep trying to recruit me, so maybe I'll be in there soon. So Fizzle is a entrepreneur, like kind of an online business community forum. You know, lots of training materials in there. They do an excellent job with it. And in fact, you can hear the guys who built it talking on Smart Passive Income, one of the recent episodes, about, you know, running a membership site and everything, all of the effort that goes into it. So
yeah, and that's actually another example of the importance of relationships. I was in like the second wave of people to join that community about 2.5 years ago. And some of the relationships I've built in there are incredible. In fact, Tony Rulli, who's working with me now, Bree Brower, who's, you know, I connected with through Fizzle, some great relationships and friendships. And so it just goes to show you the importance of building those relationships.
Yeah. So I'm hearing a few common themes. It's like, you know, obviously the connections, building these relationships, and not only with other kind of peers in this space, but also with your subscribers. So you've invested some serious time in building, you know, building the blog audience, building this library of guest posts, all the podcast archives, and all this stuff, kind of leading up to, you know, selling this product as a premium thing. Did you also survey, like, what kind of content should I include? Like, how long should this be? Is it all video format? Is some of it text? What's like the nuts and bolts of this kind of premium, you know, training product look like?
Yeah, so I definitely did a lot of surveys, and surveys can look like they can there are different ways of gathering information from your audience, right? And it is absolutely crucial to have a great relationship with your audience and to treat them with respect. So I take that very seriously. And I try and put out really high quality content. And as your list grows, you feel more pressure to do that. Like, you get responses and people say that they like something or didn't like it. And so you really feel like when you put something out, it's gotta be good, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And so that's important. I mean, there's a number of different ways you can get feedback from from your audience. And you can also get feedback if you don't have a large audience. And those are kind of two different things. But if you have an audience, I mean, I do different webinars. So based on how many people register for a webinar, I'll figure out whether people resonate with the title of the content or the material that I'm going to be presenting, and then how many people show up, you know, what kinds of comments and questions people have, how engaged they are, feedback afterwards, whether they liked it or not, all those different things. I mean, blog posts, whether people comment on a blog post, whether they email you afterwards to ask you questions about it, can figure out whether people resonate with it. And then old-fashioned surveys. I mean, I definitely did surveys to my list. And then I have autoresponders in my email sequence as well that ask people questions or that drive people to a regular survey. So I've got a survey that's constantly being updated as new people add to my list. So I can go to that survey and look at what things my subscribers are struggling with, what sorts of issues they need help with. So I know pretty precisely what my audience looks like, what they're struggling with, what they could use help with, and then I integrate all that into the course.
Yeah. You can even use their exact language. Like, hey, what's your number one pain right now? And then it's like, okay, I can turn that right around, because other people probably are likely dealing with that same thing.
Yeah, the same thing too.
What about? Do you mind saying, like, how big was your list when you decided to launch this thing, just for the sake of scale or relativity?
Yeah, no problem at all. So when I first started doing the webinar based courses, which I did twice, called Power Networking System, my list was probably, I want to say, probably under 1,000 or around 1,000, maybe 800 or something like that.
Okay.
And then when I decided to make it into a video course, which was 3 or 4 months later, I think I'd hit about 2,000. And now I'm around 10,000.
Okay. And then what was the initial response from that? Hey, I'm launching this video course. This is the price, buy now.
I was overwhelmed. Well, I didn't actually sell it that way, and I still haven't. I haven't even launched it Jeff Walker style.
Okay, this is good. Let's talk about the sales process.
Yeah, so I don't believe in doing that. I don't believe in just launching it out to your list. I think that's a wasted opportunity. What my approach was, I first I did a pre-sale, so I did a webinar where I presented some information. And then at the end, I said, I'm going to be creating this course. It's not created yet. It's going to be done in about a month. If you'd like to sign out, you can get a discount. And I discounted it by a couple $100. And you can sign up here. And I got like a handful of people who signed up at that price, but I got over like $1,000. And so it was validation. It was like, hey, this is really cool. It's the first time I'd ever had something like that.
Yeah, that's awesome. We get pre-sale dollars. People love it if they're opening their wallet for something that doesn't even exist yet.
Exactly. And it wasn't really paying for my time, but it paid for like things I need to buy. Like it paid for buying a video camera and buying some lighting and buying some software to put the course together. And so I was just thrilled. I was like, wow, I got $1,000. I haven't even created it yet. And so that was really cool. And then after I created it, then I just started doing webinars for my own list on different topics. And what I did was I compressed down the sales cycle to less than a week so I could repeat and iterate as much as possible over the course of the spring and the summer. This is all last year.
Okay.
So I would literally send out an email on Monday and Wednesday about a webinar on Wednesday. I'd have the webinar on Wednesday, open the cart, so to speak, saying that, you know, the course is open now, and then send out follow-up emails like the replay Wednesday afternoon, another email on Thursday and Friday, and then close it Friday evening. And I did this for multiple times. And each time I'd kind of test something else. You don't want to test too many different variables because then you can't tell what's leading to the larger conversions. But I just did it over and over again to try and get better and figure out what people resonated with.
Okay. Let's talk about some of the technical stuff. So what software are you using to host the webinars?
Google Hangout on Air. I use OptimizePress for the course itself. And I kind of customized a Google Hangout on Air. I call it the live page, basically the page that people watch the webinar on. And then I used Chatroll initially, which was $19 a month, but eventually I found Chatwing, which is free. You can embed a chat feature underneath the webinar pane so that people watch the video up above and the chat is down below.
Okay, cool. So you can embed that Google, that live Google Hangout onto a page on your site and have the chat embedded underneath, like if people want to ask questions.
It's amazing because, you know, not that long ago, GoToWebinar was the industry leader and you had to pay at least $100 per month.
Yeah.
Or maybe at least $50 per month for this subscription, which is a substantial investment for people.
Mm-hmm.
And now you've got Google Hangout on Air, which if you can piece it together, and this is probably one of the most common questions I get right now about how I put together my webinar. So there's a lot of information out there, but I'll probably do my own blog post at some point showing how I put the pieces together because it's a little unintuitive when you put it together. But you use a combination of your own email provider, so MailChimp or AWeber or whatever, and then use Google Hangout on Air, which is free. Use Chatwing, which is free. And then use some kind of software or template for creating a webinar registration page and creating a thank you page and creating a page where people will watch it live. Now I use lead pages for all of those things, but initially I wasn't using lead pages.
And then once someone is on the inside, the videos are hosted on a, like kind of, are they password protected? How does that work?
Yeah, so I used OptimizePress to create the whole the course, and it is, it's password protected. Initially, people bought through PayPal. Now I've moved it over to ClickBank so that I can do affiliates, which we can get into talking about the affiliate process, which has been great. But initially, I just did it like kind of bootstrapped through PayPal.
Okay, cool. Yeah, you can kind of piece it together with all these different things. It maybe is not the most elegant thing, but I think it's perfectly functional. It's like the lean startup way to go. Just putting it out there. And so is this a product now that is still kind of dependent on this webinar sales cycle, or is it kind of the cart is always open if somebody found it and wanted to buy?
Cart is not always open. It's actually just through the webinars now. Do the compressed, some people, it's crazy. People will like go and create a product and then they want to go to Evergreen so quickly and they haven't tested anything. So it's like, you don't know what your conversions are going to be. So yeah, you could make it Evergreen if you wanted to piece that all together. And that's not easy to put together, by the way. It takes you got to piece together a bunch of different pieces of software in order to make that work. But you might convert a very small number. If you could triple or quadruple your conversion numbers before you make it Evergreen, wouldn't you rather do that? So that's my attitude. So I feel like I'm still in the learning process. The other thing is I'm doing these joint venture webinars. So, and also you have to have the scarcity issue. You know, I mean, if something's Evergreen, I feel like you're not going to get anywhere near as many sales unless you're closing the cart. But actually creating something that's Evergreen and closes the cart is kind of complicated to do. So
there's some urgency at play, and we'll host a webinar in a couple of weeks for Side Hustle Nation. We want to learn how to connect with influencers and stuff as well. So I'm curious to see how it works, from this angle too.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Can I just ask a question? You're an attorney. You have this law practice in Marin County, which, for non-California people has like a reputation for most BMWs per capita. Like, it's a very wealthy, it's a very wealthy profession in a very wealthy area. So I'm kind of curious, just like why the drive to side hustle like this?
That's a great question. And I get it from time to time. People are like, well, wait a second, you're an attorney. You can charge a couple $100 an hour. Why would you do this? And there's a number of reasons. One is diversifying your income, right? So I'm mostly dependent on the hour, on the billable hour. And I don't like being entirely dependent on that. And I'm a small operation. So if I get sick or if I'm out of the office, then the income stops. So I wanted to be able to diversify my revenue to different types of sources. That would allow me to be more selective about which clients I work with. And so in many ways, that's been accomplished. I've been able to diversify my revenue. So that's a great thing. I want to be able to scale my income. So when you're a service professional like I am, even if you can charge a couple $100 an hour, there's a ceiling to what you can charge. There's only so many hours you can work in a week or a month. And there's only so much you can charge per hour that the market will bear. I did a webinar yesterday, and it took me an hour to do the webinar. And this is actually one of my most successful webinars so far. But it took me an hour to do the webinar. And at the end of the hour, I had made $3,000. And I don't know, there's no attorney in America that charges $3,000 an hour. There's hardly one that charges more than $1,000 an hour. So the tools that you can use.
That's your next blog post, the $3,000 an hour attorney. Here's how I got it done, step by step. Oh, my gosh. That's really cool.
Yeah. So that's, you know, that's a big part of it. Another big part of it, and honestly, this is more personal for me, is you know, when you're practicing law, a lot of times you're enabling people who are fighting, or it's very acrimonious. And the work that I do with my online work is really fulfilling to me. I'm helping people with some fundamental things, like how to grow their income by getting better at building relationships. And it's something that I didn't realize was a skill that I had. And once I realized it, it got very gratifying to help people with that and then to get the positive feedback that you get from it. Mm-hmm. So, you know, psychologically, it's just wonderfully fulfilling.
Yeah, I'm with you on that, like all of the touchy-feely, fulfilling stuff. Yeah, we wouldn't do this stuff if it wasn't fun, if it didn't make us feel good. So exactly. That's really good. And you know, just the relationships that allow you to, you know, to just to have this network of people that you know are going to support you. You know, whether that's, you know, I'm launching a book. Would you mind reviewing my podcast? So when I launched the podcast, I like literally went through I had an email list of 11 people. I went through but like, regardless, even if you have a list of zero, like you have a much bigger network than I think you probably realize. And like, I always like to joke, like, whatever, the average adult has 238 Facebook friends. Like, that's 238 people that at least care something about what you're working on. But I literally went through my Gmail, like letter by letter, to see what email would pop up and would say, hey, I just launched this podcast. You don't even have to listen to it, but every download helps me. You know, here's the link. And if you would mind leaving a review, thank you so much. And you just like without that to lean on, that, you know, gave me that enough of a boost to get up into the new and noteworthy. And then things kind of started spinning. So lots of
I mean, that gets to another point, which is with tools like building an email list, building a blog, it allows you to continue developing relationships the way that you do one-on-one, but to start scaling those relationships. You know, it gets more important to have these tools that you can communicate one-to-many, not one-to-one. You know, I mean, when I'm practicing law, it's really one-to-one. But if you can do things one-to-many, you can really start to scale your income, even if you charge less. I mean, I could charge a couple hundred dollars an hour for legal work, but I can sell a product at a lower price point and serve one to many, and I can end up bringing home a lot more money, you know. So it's all about being able to scale those relationships. So being able to communicate with a larger group of people as your audience continues to grow.
Yeah, absolutely. That's one of the coolest things about the podcast. Like from my perspective, it takes the exact same amount of effort to produce the show this year versus last year, except there's, you know, 8 or 10 times more people listening to it this year. Like I think that's really, really cool.
Yeah, and that's amazing. That's just an amazing impact, you know? Same thing with, you know, managing an email list or managing a blog or anything like that.
Back to the course. So I put a course out on, you know, how to rock your Kindle launch, how to rock your nonfiction launch. And I put it on Udemy because I'd had a couple guests on the show talking to me about Udemy. Hey, here's a platform. It's just like Amazon. You know, there's 5 million verified students on here. You can reach a much bigger audience than you ever could on your own. So, you know, why with an email list of 1,000 when you launch, like why not go bigger and try and get those 5 million from Udemy?
Yeah, that's interesting. You know, in retrospect, I can see a lot of value to that. Like you could potentially create a course that's at a lower price point and the whole purpose of it is to build an audience for yourself. Like I was talking to a guy recently who did that. He hadn't made much money from a particular course he'd done on Udemy, but he'd sold like 4,000 copies. But the thing is, Udemy discounts things frequently from what I've heard. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So he'd made, you know, this was of course like 9 months or something. He'd made, I don't know, like, you know, 10 grand or 12 grand. I forget exactly what the numbers were. It wasn't a lot, you know? And but, you know, it's building an audience, so then he could sell subsequent products to those people who'd already bought his course. But I mean, I'm a big follower of Ramit Sethi over at I Will Teach You to Be Rich. I follow very closely what he does. And I saw that he was not watering down his products. He was selling them, you know, in a limited capacity. They weren't open for anyone to buy, but he would open and close them at different times during the year. And he didn't sell anything on any of these big platforms. When you're on these big platforms, it's kind of more like a commodity. Like, you can be, people compare you to other types of products in the same niche, versus if you're selling it separately, then this, it's not being compared directly, at least.
Yeah.
And there's a higher perceived value, I think, too.
Oh, I think so too. You have more pricing power, right? Because even if you, well, you can opt out of Udemy's pricing promotions too, but a lot of the sales do come through on their coupon deals.
Yeah. But there could be real value if that's your strategy, if that's your approach, to having a lower priced product that you're just putting it in somewhere like that in order to grow your list, just in the same way that some people will put something up on Kindle for the purpose of growing their email list. And I haven't done either of those strategies, so I don't know how well that works. I've heard other people say that it can work really well. But what I wouldn't want to do is put a heck of a lot of effort into something, create like a course or a Kindle book for that matter, and have it, you know, fail to achieve either revenue or grow the list, you know. And I figure, like, by doing it on my own platform, I've got control over it. The big takeaway that I have kind of, a revelation I've kind of had recently, is I think there's huge value to creating a course that's not too expensive, maybe even like $97, $187 or something like that. And then building your email list through affiliates, doing like the joint venture webinars like I've been doing. We can talk about that. And then building your list, and then using that to build your list, and then later creating higher value courses after you've done the lower value ones, because you're trying to get people on your list, and you're also trying to get buyers into your community.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, one thing you can do, you know, really simply is, you know, repurpose the course content into a Kindle book just to test that platform.
Right. Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. I mean,
but they kind of cap the price at $9.99. You know, or you, right. I mean, you could charge whatever you want, but like their royalty structure kind of dictates that.
Yeah.
The next component of this, you know, of the 8,500 from this blog post that apparently has turned into 30,000 since it was published, was in promoting other people's products as an affiliate, like other high ticket items as an affiliate. So, is there a process that you like to use for that stuff?
I'm kind of developing one. So the funny thing is, I had done a little bit like affiliate marketing, like when I had like 100, 200 people on my email list. I don't know why. It was a waste of time.
Okay.
I think I got excited about the idea of it. And I would, you know, I had this basic, you know, small, not a big, small, kind of a small email list at the time.
Well, I think with these high ticket items, you know, that's an opportunity, or that's an avenue for people without a huge list.
That's true. You make one or two sales and you're like, you're thrilled. Yeah. You know, I mean, you can get $1,000 commission, right?
Wow. That shows you how much margin is built into some of these things.
Oh yeah, absolutely. You know, I mean, it's amazing. Like, you get one sale and it's like $1,000 or $800 or something. So, you know, a couple of things. I started last year, started doing more affiliate promotions. I just do it for products that I believe in, people that I know, or I know it's really high quality products, and that would align with my audience, where I think that there's that they're going to have an interest in it. And my audience is kind of diverse. It's a mix of offline entrepreneurs, online entrepreneurs, and kind of entrepreneurs or people within an organization who want to get better at building relationships.
Yeah.
And so there are different types of products that might appeal to them. And I realize that very few products are going to appeal to everyone. Mm-hmm. They're probably just going to appeal to a small segment. So you got to be okay with that. And some of my early efforts were not all that successful, really. I mean, like, I did some joint venture webinars where I made, you know, a couple $100, like $300, $400, $500. But I was kind of surprised that it wasn't that successful. But it steadily ramped up. I mean, if I look at the growth in my audience and the growth in my revenue, they are completely in parallel. Like they just continue to go together as the audience grows and the revenue goes up. The other thing is, like, you know, the $30,000 a month, a big chunk of that was helping to promote Zero to Launch, which was Ramit Sethi's at I Will Teach You Be Rich product on how to start an online business. And I'd taken that course. I was one of the first people to go through it. And I wrote that blog post that you saw from 100 to 8,500 in 6 months. And, you know, a lot of the stuff that I learned from Ramit was directly applicable and directly helped me grow. So, and I recorded a couple of videos and did a couple of blog posts where I just told my story. I just said, like, this is what's happened to me. And I think that really resonated with people. And I think that's why a lot of people bought through my affiliate link.
Yeah, also, to be able to speak to it personally and have seen results from it.
Yeah, absolutely. Right. And then also another thing is they don't have a lot of affiliates promoting it too. Like B School launch is going on right now and there's a ton of affiliates for that. So if you're on a couple email lists, you're like getting used to receiving these emails, you know? So there weren't a lot for Zero to Launch. I think that made a big difference. I also included bonuses too. You know, I mean, which when you have $1,000 commission, you can include a lot of bonuses. So I hadn't really thought about this when I created my Connect with Influencers course, but I've used that as a bonus for a couple of higher ticket products. And it's nice to be able to have your own product that's valued at that you sell for a number, you know, a couple of hundred dollars to say that that's a bonus onto this other product. I think that sweetens the deal for people.
Okay. No, that's an interesting way to go about it. Say, oh, I'm gonna throw this in if you buy through my link.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it definitely helps. I mean, I don't know if it seals the deal for everyone. I think probably the personal experience and the being able to demonstrate that you actually used the product that you're promoting and that it had an impact on you, I think that makes the biggest difference.
Do you stress out about, you know, like, oh, here comes another pitch from John. You know, what's he selling today?
Not really. I mean, I get a lot of unsubscribes no matter what I send. I mean, if I send, hey, guys, here's, like in December, I had a promotion that I emailed out a couple of times. So I'm a big fan of Contactually Software, which is customer relationship management software, and I'm an affiliate for them, but I make hardly anything. It's like very little money. So I don't really do it for the money. But they had a promotion in December where anyone who signed up would get for just a trial, without even entering their credit card, they'd get a free $10 Amazon gift card, I'd get a free Amazon $10.
Oh, that's good Christmas money.
Exactly. That's what they said. It was like stocking stuffer money, okay. Right? And so I emailed out a couple times to my list, and a ton of people took advantage of it. I ended up getting about $1,000 in Amazon.
Oh, that's awesome.
Which is really cool, yeah. But, I mean, I had people – I mean, I got, you know, dozens of people unsubscribed every time I sent that out. And it's like pulling my hair out. I'm like, I am sending you an offer to get a free Amazon gift card.
Yeah, I'm sending you free money, and you're unsubscribing.
I know. So you just got to be okay with, you know, it's going to happen, you know. There's some people going to appeal to it, and there's some people who aren't. But, I mean, with Zero to Launch, there were some people – I got emails from people, and this happens with anything I promote. I got some emails from people that were like, thank you so much for bringing that to my attention. This is just exactly what I'm looking for right now. It's like the perfect fit for me. I'm really glad you brought it to my attention. And I'm really glad that you shared your personal experience. So okay. You just got to be okay with the fact that you're never going to appeal to 100% of your audience. And some people are going to be like, delete or unsubscribe.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah. And that maybe is the vocal minority. Like, stop sending me this stuff. Like, okay, you look, the button, the unsubscribe link is down at the bottom. You can get out at any time.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. Now that's okay. And I think it's the mentality, like you said, hey, this is going to be helpful for someone. It may not be for everyone, but if it's helpful for you, if it hits you at the right time, then I have maybe I have an obligation to bring it to your attention.
Right. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I mean, that's how I feel, you know, not everyone on your email list is right for you. You know, there are going to be some people that I'm the same way. Like, I'll stay on someone's email list for a while and then I get frustrated with all the emails I'm getting and I'll unsubscribe and then I'll rejoin. And, you know, so I know that other people are the same way.
Yeah, no, I'm, yeah, it's like, it's a learning curve. And, you know, for anyone who's on my list and is getting upset, like, I've never done this before. Like, I'm learning as I go just the same. So there's always that. John, thank you so much for joining me. Just a couple quick things before we wrap up. I was going to ask, you know, if you had to start over, kind of going back to that 3 years with the rebrand to Smart Business Revolution, anything you would do differently to kind of accelerate things, or, you know, are you happy with the timeline of how things have gone?
Oh, heck no. I wish it had gone a lot faster, and I wish I was a lot more advanced at this point. So no, I'm not happy at all. I mean, I'm constantly trying to get better, and kicking myself for things I didn't do earlier, and I would do it completely different. For example, I wouldn't start a blog or a podcast. Well, maybe a podcast, because a podcast is a great way to build relationships with people. Excellent. I would do it if no one was paying attention, mm-hmm. if no one was listening. But you have to be very, very careful about the people that you choose to have on your podcast. So the podcast, maybe, but I would honestly not start a blog. I wouldn't worry about a blog. I'd probably buy a domain, and I'd maybe say, like, this is coming soon. And then I'd start guest posting as much as I could and drive them back to some kind of freebie that was related to what my guest post was about, that wanted to attract a certain type of audience. And I just build my list until, I don't know how big. I mean, I wouldn't even start the blog until maybe until I had at least 1,000 subscribers or more.
Okay, interesting.
Yeah, because the email list is so much more important than I ever really realized. And I even look back now and I wonder if I should have started to create my Connect with Influencers course at 2,000 subscribers, or if I should have waited later. But I mean, I've heard other people say that they start at many fewer and then they use that as a tool to build their list. You know, you can, once you have a product created, you can use that as a tool for building your list. So, but that's what I would have done. I also wouldn't, you know, I mean, it's hard to know in retrospect, but I would have narrowed down my focus a lot more sooner. You know, blogging just about entrepreneurship was too broad. Zeroing it in on talking about relationship building, connecting in business, and using the world of digital tools in order to build those relationships, that was much more focused. And so when people learn about me or they hop over to my blog, they know that it's not just a generic entrepreneurship blog. It's actually more, there's more focus to it. And so I think people are more likely to stick around.
Definitely. Okay. That's an interesting one. I think all bloggers can relate to the idea of, like, hey, don't spend that time blogging into a vacuum. You know, when you're starting out, no one's paying attention. Like, just put up that coming soon page with the opt-in offer and focus your energy on writing great guest posts.
So true. I spent so little time guest posting for the first couple of years, just none, basically. I mean, I just didn't guest post at all. And then once I started focusing on it, it made such a huge impact. I mean, it made all the classic mistakes. I'd be filling around with different WordPress plugins and appearance and stuff. And that, if you look at my blog now, it's still a total template blog design. I use a Generate theme from Copyblogger. It's a Genesis child theme. I've had all kinds of designers who tell me that I need to change it in a million different ways. And maybe if I did, it probably would help, but I'd probably have to spend a substantial amount of money in order to do that. And maybe I would achieve my goals faster, so maybe I'm wrong. But in spite of that, I think the more important, there are more important things you can focus on than design. I spent a lot of time tweaking design, and I don't know that it made really that much of a difference.
Yeah, it looks like it's mobile responsive, so I think that's modern enough. I think you're okay there.
There you go. I mean, one of my goals this year is to redesign it, so hopefully that'll happen.
Cool. John, thank you so much for joining me, everyone. It's smartbusinessrevolution.com. If you want to be notified of the webinar that John and I will do about connecting with influencers, like how we connected, I'm sure that's part of the story on how to connect with influencers. Definitely sign up for the email list at signhustlenation.com. I'll let you know about it. And John, we'll wrap it up with your number one tip for Side Hustle Nation.
Number one tip, absolutely. Actually, we didn't even talk about this, but I'll say creating what I call your conversations list. And so basically your conversations list is a strategy I tell everyone to do, which is basically sitting down and writing out a list of the 50 people that you'd like to build a relationship over the course of the next 12 months. And it could be people you know already. It could be people that you don't know already, people that you really admire, that you'd like to connect with. and write down that list and then spend the next 12 months building a relationship with them. It could be exchanging messages on social media. It could be emailing them directly. It could be starting a podcast and interviewing them. You don't need to have a podcast to interview someone. You can interview someone and use it in many different ways for an article or blog post or something like that. But taking the time in advance, spending that literally should take you 15 minutes, could save 15 years of wasted effort by focusing and really making you absolutely crystal clear on the types of people that you want to build relationships with that will support your goals and support your business and support your career going forward.
And that's an excellent one. We've had people say, you know, build your network before, but no one has given that specific an action. So we really like that. John, thanks so much. And we'll talk to you soon.
All right. Thanks, Nick.
There you have it. Start building that conversations list. The 50 people you'd like to build a relationship with over the next 12 months. Who would be on your list? I'm trying to think who would be on my list. If you like what John's doing, want to learn more, I hope you'll join us on March 24th for our exclusive webinar. It's connectwithinfluence.com/Nick to reserve your spot. Connectwithinfluence.com/Nick. And right after you register for that, be sure to jump over to podcastawards.com and cast your vote for the Side Hustle Show if you think it is the best business podcast. You can do it. You can do it from your phone. It'll take 30 seconds. And that's it. Thank you so much for listening. Thank you so much for nominating the show. And thank you so much for voting. All the notes and highlights, plus John's top tips from today's episode are available to you in a free downloadable PDF at sidehustlenation.com/98 or through the link in your podcast player app. Until next time, let's go out there and make something happen. And I'll see you next week in episode 99. Hustle on.
Thanks for listening to The Side Hustle Show at www.sidehustlenation.com.